This week on Potlatch, how they celebrate the new year in native villages and some Kachin music. Potlatch, a program about Alaska Natives for Alaska Natives. We begin the program with music of the Alaskan Kachin Indians, the work produced by Ethnic Folkways Library. Song of the Snow Geese Flying Over the Mouth of the Yukon by Daniel John of Fort Yukon. This song, delicate in its tonal qualities and subtle in its rhythmic awakening, comes from a man with his nose broken and his face full of hard lines, Daniel John, and yet somehow beneath all this hardness is a repertoire of droll stories and a song as tender and lyrical as this. Translated freely, it says, "The snow geese and the ducks are coming in at the mouth of the Yukon. You can see the orange color of the sky at dawn." In the second part of the song, Daniel John's voice simulates the flight of birds climbing, gliding, dipping, and flapping their wings. Next, we hear three love songs by Lily Pitka of Fort Yukon. Many years ago, when Indian people fell in love, it was customary for them to compose songs to express their deep feelings for each other. The first melody we will hear was learned by Lily Pitka when she was a young girl living in Stevens Village. She is Kachin by marriage rather than by birth. The person who taught her the song, Lucy John, is a woman of over 100 years old, now living in a nursing home in Fairbanks and still singing. The second song we will hear by Lily Pitka is entitled, "I Feel So Bad." She learned it in Fort Yukon, though its origin is not certain. Her third song, "Goodbye Sheen Ya," is very popular and widely known in all of the Kachin villages. It began to circulate in the 1950s when the woman who composed it, Annie Kotzow, sang it for her husband, Peter, when she left him for another man. The translated text reads, "Tell me goodbye, shake my hand, don't cry for me." The final lines are omitted in this version. We hear now three love songs by Lily Pitka of Fort Yukon.
Sinjit kwiru kuka tatit zina. Sinjit kwiru
Lily Pitka, Fort Yukon.
Usually the first thing they do is, depending on the weather and the snow, they have dog races and they have foot races throughout the day, and later in the evening they have a free movie. And at intermission, the awards are given out to the racers in the dog teams, and they also have snow machine races. And the children also get their awards. The women who raced with maybe one dog or two dogs also get everybody gets their awards. And right after the movie, if there's a record player handy, they have a dance that lasts until about 2 o'clock. And right at midnight, they start shooting blanks into the night, and some of them try to get the moon or the stars. And that's about, of course, a few of the people kind of get wiped out on booze or something. That's kind of common in just about every place. And that's about it for activities on New Year's in Akyak. We do have a midnight service from 11 to 12 o'clock. And most of the time, the movies and the other stuff like dancing are canceled until the next day because of the services.
Yeah, the service doesn't start like at 12 o'clock. It starts at 11. Does it last for about an hour?
A little past 12 o'clock, maybe a half hour extra. I'm not too sure.
Yes, Matthew, since you are a full-blooded Eskimo, you want to translate that, what you've just said?
Agunehawani kalautka dochakaidulheta New Year ami. Doch January 1 nami nutaramun ashagumun kakamta. Jalas putwani akkermi doch akfautarlutin snow coat kun kemuchtun aranet angut mikkelingutlutalimagut akfautarlutin hutoi irumchtun akfakoletin jale sacrisalin pitchatin tamakun doch latakoni dankt darlutin doch muvigalutin doch
January 2. Thank you very much, Matthew.
Matthew Galila of Akiakak. We'll hear more from several students about New Year's in some of the villages in Alaska. We hear next three medicine songs by Silas John of Arctic Village, Stanley Luke of Fort Yukon, and John Frank of Gold Camp. Indian medicine men obtain their magical powers through a bird or animal, and they communicate with this animal by sleeping to the owl or the frog or another creature. Shenyati's Owl Song, performed by John Silas, has been passed down from the most famous medicine man of the Quichua Quichin. Already a legendary figure, Shenyati was described by some of the first white men to make contact with the Quichin, and he is said to have had anywhere from 7 to 28 wives. When Shenyati died in 1893, people up and down the Yukon knew about it right away because they knew Shenyati slept to the owl and they could hear the owls crying. Another powerful medicine man, Henry John, inherited this song and the power that went with it, and Silas in turn learned it from him. In translation, Silas sings, "I look to the east. When I'm young, I look that way. And when I'm born to the owl." Stanley Luke introduces his song about the caribou shedding their horns, a song that belonged to one of Shenyati's rivals. This rival learned it from a dream. Johnny Frank learned this song from his grandfather, who shot and killed his brother-in-law with a muzzleloader and then brought him back to life by singing this song, also learned in a dream. We hear then three medicine songs by Silas John of Arctic Village, by Stanley Luke of Fort Yukon, and by Johnny Frank of Gold Camp.
I'm going to sing to Shanati song to our song. Long time recipe, you know, and he was young, you know, and he talked about that owl song when he's young. And that time, you know, and he's a man, you know, and Shanati. And I'm going to sing that. In the greenest in the high, get it is it in the greenest in the high. The air of the tea in the greenest.
His caribou got a horn, see, Jevolti got a song to that, see? See, when they're shedding the horn, that's why they got song to it, see? They said, at the end of the Alaska, over the Baron, no slope. They said, threw that thing away. That's why he's singing, see? See, all the people that dreaming about that country, he said, around there, you're shedding that horn. That's what he said. De a deva a na a ya e ti le 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 a de a deva a na a
that's
Manage to come up with a woman, all stand up and making songs, war songs, eh? One old ladies.
The last song we heard was the war song sung by Johnny Frank of Gold Camp. The Chandler people engaged in many wars with the Eskimos of the Arctic Slope, and Johnny has two long tales about famous Indian victories in battle. This particular song came from an Indian woman who lost her whole family in one of these battles, and to arouse her people to take revenge, she sang that song to them. Johnny, who is in his 90s now, lives alone with his 85-year-old wife, Sarah, at a place called Gold Camp on the Chandler River, 38 miles from the nearest village. We hear next another report on how New Year's is celebrated in the village.
Oscar Frank from Yakutat, Southeast Alaska.
Well, I do a lot of things. Celebrate to come to New Year, go out and have some fun, get drunk maybe, or little dances, parties, everything. The community puts on a program, and the churches also put on a program about the 24th. And also there's some guys get together and play basketball at the high school gym, and that's about it.
Do you have midnight services or masses or whatever?
Some of the churches do. Remember, I think the Presbyterian and Church of God.
Okay, thank you very much, and that was Oscar Frank.
We hear, coming next, two crow dance songs by Myra Robert of Minatai and Lily Pitka, Fort Yukon. Two tricksters in Kuchin mythology are the crow and the wolverine, but of the two, the crow is the least despised because sometimes he's known to be a benefactor to man. In the old days, there was a Kuchin crow dance ceremony that has faded away completely in modern times. Myra Robert, a star storyteller and a songstress combined, renders the part of the ceremony which includes the crow squawking, and Lily Pitka interprets a brief version of the dance which followed. Michael Mason, in his book The Arctic Forests, described the crow dance as he saw it in Fort Yukon in 1920, and he helped us to visualize and reconstruct the way in which these songs must have originally been used. Mason says, a man lies flat on his back, his feet flattened out at 9:15, and his hands spread to represent fins. He is supposed to be a dead fish and generally looks rather realistic. A woman or a boy enveloped in a big black shawl then comes on the scene. She or he is a crow and usually imitates its walk, croak, and movements to perfection as she pecks the fish's eyes out and begins to eat it. Sometimes there are several crows and they fight and squabble over the fish. After a while, a man enveloped in a white sheet swoops on to the little supper party, uttering the raucous scream of the fish eagle. The crows flap away with cries of disappointment, and the eagle continues their meal. The play is brought to a climax by the fish suddenly returning to life and the eagle beating a disconsolate retreat. We hear now two crow dance songs by Myra Robert of Minatai and Lily Pitka of Fort Yukon. Myra Robert of Inatai and Lily Pitka of Fort Yukon. We go back now to Ann Nikolai and a third guest telling us about New Year's in the villages.
Levi Lot from Tuluksak.
We get our guns ready for New Year's Eve, so we can, right at New Year's Eve, we have everybody shoot their guns that are able. They burn their Christmas trees, you know, make a big bonfire on New Year's Eve. We have midnight service on New Year's Eve. Right at midnight, everybody runs out with their guns and starts shooting the stars. If certain activities are prepared, we have activities like maybe dance or anything, or even a feast. Sometimes we have dog team races and snow machine races. It just depends on the weather and activity committee.
We can translate this in Eskimo. Unahwani Levi Lot Tulk Sam Yuhtun Kanrut 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 Kanrut.
No, I can't know the galactic to no honey midnight the can jolly Goluki Nabat Christmas tree, but Goluki Araluting light the new Yakoyaklu good git. Astrago no dark git, Hakoyaklu. Aga looting to 11 clarinet. I can illa unako do so midnight angan aga fatakluni.
We hear next two songs of tribute, both sung by Myra Robert of Venati. She sings two traditional songs in what is called the High Language, a very formal style of speaking understood today only by the middle-aged and old Aquichin. The first song was passed from old Robert's mother, Myra's husband's paternal grandmother. When this woman's sister died, she started crying and singing this song referring to the heavens. My older sister, they say it's good up that way, go there. My older sister, they say it's good up there that way, go there. Take all your relatives with you. Take them all with you to that good place. My older sister, they say it's good up that way, go there. The dead sister was the daughter of a famous legendary figure who fought heroically against the Eskimos. The second song here is also a song of tribute, but it is more like a eulogy, in that it was sung by the best friend of a famous hunter as he lay in his deathbed. His friend paid tribute to him by recalling all the great things he had done in his life. We hear two songs of tribute by Myra Robert of Venati. Myra Robert of Venati. Next, we hear a song story about the boy and the moon. At the end of this story, the boy tells his grandmother that if she looks up at the moon and sees him packing a shoulder blade and intestine full of moose blood, she should tell everyone to grab a little something and start sharing it with each other. He goes on to tell her that when the moon is eclipsed, they should watch his shadow. If it goes right through, it is a sign that there will be a good winter ahead. But if they see his shadow go across and come back again, it means they will have a hard winter. Finally, the boy sings two songs. The first is a happy song for a good winter. The second, a sad song for a bad winter. The final short segment appears to be an epilogue. We hear then with a song of The Boy in the Moon, sung by Myra Robert of Vinitai. The Boy in the Moon with Myra Robert of Vinitai. Next, we hear the New Year's song by Lily Petka of Fort Yukon. The old-fashioned Indian way of celebrating New Year's was to have a group of people go around from house to house with a large square piece of canvas outstretched between them. At each house, they would raise and lower the canvas while they sang this song, and soon the people inside the house would come out and throw something onto it, usually food, but sometimes a piece of fancy beadwork or even a little money. When every house had donated something, the people would assemble at the community hall for an evening of dancing and potlatching. The same melody was used among the Hanas Athabascans at Eagle, and the custom of carrying the canvas from house to house is still practiced far downriver among the Koyokan Athabascans at Caltag. We hear now the New Year's song by Lily Petka of Fort Yukon. That was Lily Petka of Fort Yukon. Our thanks to Bill Fredson for this album of music of Alaskan Kuchin Indians. Potlatch, produced in the studios of KUAC in College in cooperation with KTOO Juneau, KOTZ Kotzebue, and KYUK Bethel, under Title I of the Higher Education Act.